Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am thrilled because tonight we will continue our study in the book of Ezekiel. And we know that this study will expound upon the teachings of the prophet Ezekiel, who is considered by many theologians as the gloom and doom prophet. He scolded both Judah and Israel constantly because of their disobedience against the laws of God. Many of his prophecies have already been fulfilled. The ones that haven't are yet still looming against Israel today, more especially those pertaining to the end times, as also revealed in the book of Revelations by John the Revelator, who also is known as the Apostle St. John the Divine. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, which I like to consider it, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like, for the host has set up a chat room for us to go into and have dialogue one with another. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time, as I always do, to thank those of you who have given and taken time to give me feedback on the show. The comments, my precious brothers and sisters, and the advice that you are giving me, I am using. And thank you very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish you a throne in the kingdom of Israel, and he will set upon it, will be your God. This is taken from 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 4 and 5, my brothers and sisters, is that a throne will be set up for us if we adhere to God's commandments. God said again, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. That's taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15 through 17. My brothers and sisters, this is the promise that we who are in the Lord God Almighty, keeping his commandments, may stand still in adversity and see the salvation of the Lord God Almighty, who will fight for us. That's the promise. God said again through King David, blessed is everyone that fears the Lord God, that walks in his ways. Thy wife shall be as a fruit vine down the side of thy house, and thy children as olive plants at thy table. That's taken from Psalms 121, verse 1 through 3. My brothers and sisters, the promise is that your wife, your spouse, if you're female, and your children will be a joy to you if you fear the Lord God and walk in his ways. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, again, the question is for this hour, are you standing on the promises of God? Now, before we get started, as I always do, I must tell you that the Bible is written in code. My brothers and sisters, this is so significant, meaning that it is written in mysteries and secrets, in parables and prophecies, in proverbs and paradoxes and riddles and in symbols. And the only way to break this code is through study and learning. And that's why we've come together this evening. So let's study and learn together. Okay, let's go to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Ezekiel chapter 30. We're going to be looking at verse 4 through 10 or 4 through 6 and then verse 10. And as I read the text to you, this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the Bible verses. More about Egypt. Now, we know through the annals of theological history, Egypt has not only been a nemesis against Israel, but has also been, you know, a villain that put them in captivity and held them, their feet to the fire constantly. And so God has always, during the years that this has occurred, from the time that Israel was in captivity in Egypt up until today, which Israel and Egypt are at odds with one another, protected Israel or given more, I would say, punishment to Egypt for their assault on Israel. And this is what happened during Jeremiah's time. This is what Jeremiah says about it in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 4 through 6. And the sword shall come upon Egypt, and great pain shall be in Ethiopia, when the slain shall fall in Egypt, and they shall take away her multitude, and her foundation shall be broken down. Ethiopia and Libya in Liberia, and all that the mingled people and Chub and the men of the island that is in league with them shall fall with them by the sword. Thus saith the Lord God, they also that uphold Egypt shall fall, and the pride of her power shall come down. And from the tower of Cyrene shall they fall in it by the sword, saith the Lord God Almighty. And he concludes with this thought in verse 10. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also make the multitude of Egypt to cease by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. So we are hearing that God is promising Israel, even though they are going into captivity in Babylon, Babylon is going to defeat their enemy, Egypt, who has been constant in their lives ever since Jacob or Israel went into the land of Goshen, with Joseph being the father of Pharaoh, as the Bible tells us. Anyway, we're looking at now Psalms 106, and we're going to see through the psalmist more about this assault against Egypt by God for their work against the Israelites. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 106. We're going to look at verse 21 through 23. And this is what the psalmist says. And this particular psalmist who's writing this is David, King David. And I see that we're at a break, so let's take our break, and then we'll come back and finish the lesson. Now
this, an almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God is sitting in heaven waiting to hear from you. David says that he has his hand cupped behind his ear, listening for his children to ask him for great and mighty things that we know not. He's listening for us to pull down the strongholds of addictions that enslave our families, to pull down the strongholds of abortion and pornography, to pull down the demonic forces that are destroying the government of the United States. So what does he hear from our lips? Oh God, watch over the parakeet and water the grass. Let me tell you something. When you walk through these doors and you lift your hands to pray, I want you to remember that you are talking to Almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God, the creator of heaven and earth. The blast of his nostrils can split the cedars of Lebanon. He holds the seven seas in the palms of his hand. He weighs the mountains in a scale and the hills in the balance. You can ask him for things so staggering, so big, that God slides out of his chair and sits on the edge and says to the angels, did you hear what he said? Asking for things that are impossible, because with God nothing is impossible. Ask him to defeat the giants in your life, because our God is a giant killer. Ask him to divide the sea before you and to bury Pharaoh and watch him turn your enemies into fish food. Ask him to send fire from heaven as he did for Elijah, and he will. Ask him to walk with you in the fire of the fiery furnace and be the fourth man in the fire, and he will. He said you will walk through the fire and the fire will not burn you. You will walk through the water and the water will not drown you. Ask him. He's the God who cannot fail. He's waiting to show you great and mighty things. Ask him. Pray, pray, pray. God in heaven wants you to have that power. You are made in the image of God. God is not a statue. He speaks, he thinks, he talks, he feels our infirmities. He answers our prayer. He's alive. He's Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. He's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord who is our banner. He's Jehovah Shalom, the God our peace. Pray. God is in heaven saying, what do you need? Do you need healing? Ask in faith, believing, and I will give it. Do you need supernatural wisdom to make a tough decision? Ask of me, and I will lead you in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Do you need peace that surpasses understanding? Ask, 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 for nothing is impossible to those that believe. No good thing will he withhold from those that diligently seeking. Do you need the impossible? Then open your mouth. Open your mouth in faith, believing. You're not talking to the President of the United States. You're not talking to Bill Gates. Both of them together can't control their next breath. You're talking to the Creator of heaven and earth. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He uses gold for asphalt on the streets of heaven. He moves mountains. He divides seas. He'll give you wells you didn't dig, vineyards you didn't plant, houses you didn't build. He will make you the head and not the tail, because nothing, nothing, nothing is impossible to you.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we are talking about more about Egypt and what Ezekiel was prophesying against them to Israel when Israel was in captivity in Babylon. And we're looking at Psalms 106, verse 21 through 23, that amplifies it even more to show how this nemesis, Egypt, was constantly at odds with Israel. This is what the psalmist said. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance. That's what the psalmist is saying about Joseph, who was over Pharaoh's household at the time, to bind his princesses at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt and sojourned in the land of Ham. And that's just telling us that Egypt, that Israel came into Egypt willingly and then were put into shackles because of the fear that the Israelites had or caused the Egyptians at that time. And it's been that from that day forward, we know that Israel and Egypt have been at odds. Now let's go to the book of Jude. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Jude, and we're going to compare and agree with the Old Testament is going to compare and agree with this New Testament comment where Jude talks about, is Egypt in this plight? This is what Jude said to the disciples in his letter, Jude chapter 1, verse 5 and 4. I will, therefore, put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. And that is, and verse 4 is where I should, and I'll conclude. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, we know at the time that wasn't the case. Today, we know Jesus Christ is the case. And those who are in Israel that are not Orthodox Jews, that are Messianic Jews, still are plagued because of the difference between Israel and Egypt. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my precious brothers and sisters, that God has established what he did in Egypt for Israel as critical biblical history. God gives us the understanding. He shows us the way, basic instructions before leaving earth. And Israel is one of the major examples he puts in front of us to realize that there is good against evil. This is the position that Egypt is being portrayed as the evil, okay? And that's how we should take it. And this is what I'm trying to share with you in this particular instruction. And now we're going to go to the next instruction. Turn back with me to the book of Ezekiel. We're going to go to chapter 21 in the book of Ezekiel. We're going to look at several verses in chapter 21. And this is what I want you to get or keep in mind as I read the text to you, the parable about the cedar of Lebanon. This is a parable that Israel received from Ezekiel while they were in captivity. And this is what Ezekiel said about the cedar of Lebanon. He said in Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 2 through 4, Son of man, speak unto the king of Pharaoh of Egypt and his multitude, whom art thou like in this greatness? Behold, the Assyrians was a cedar in Lebanon, with fair branches and with a shadowing shroud and of a high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs. The waters made him great. The deep set him on high with his rivers running round about his plants and sent out the little rivers into the trees of the field. Therefore, and now we'll go to verse 8 through 11 to continue, the cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. The fern tree were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. I made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all of the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast lifted up thyself in height and hast shot up his tops among the thick boughs, and his heart is lifted up in his heights. I have therefore delivered him into the hands of the mighty, one of the heathens. He shall surely deal with him. I have driven him out of his wickedness. Verse 15 through 18 completes the thought, and then we will discuss it. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day when he went down to the grave, I caused a mourning. I covered the depth for him, and I restrained the floods thereof, and the great waters were stayed. And I caused Lebanon to mourn for him, and all the trees of the field fainted for him. I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall, when I cast him down to hell when with them that descended into the pit. And all the trees of Eden, the choice and best of Lebanon, all that drink water shall be confronted in the nether parts of the earth. They also went down into hell with him, unto them that shall be slain with the sword, and they that were his arm, that dealt under his shadow, and in the midst of the heathen, to whom art thou thus like in glory and in greatness among the trees of Eden? Yet shalt thou be brought down to the trees of Eden? unto the nether parts of the earth. Thou shalt lie in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that be slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh and all his multitude, saith the Lord God. What the prophet is telling Israel is that the doom that occurred to Egypt at the time will recur again because of their disobedience. And what he gave as an example, the tree of Lebanon, Assyria, was against the first tribe of the northern tribes that went into captivity and were dispersed and are still lost to Israel today. And the southern tribes, which today are the two tribes of Israel and, of Judah and of Benjamin, are the only two tribes that are set in Israel to this day. And it showed that God gave this parable at that time to tell them that what happened to Assyria that overtook the northern tribes, who was also destroyed, the same is going to happen to Babylon in the long run. And this is what Israel is telling, or Ezekiel is telling Israel today. And so to give us an impetus on this, or to even explain more, I'm going to take us to Exodus chapter 7. Turn with me, if you will, to your Bible sources, to Exodus chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 3 through 5, and this is what happened in Exodus against Egypt proper. I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my armies and my people and the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by great judgment. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hands upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And again, this was already pre-prophesied, if you will, in the book of Exodus, that Egypt was going to take a great hit because of what they did against the people of God. Even though, my precious brothers and sisters, God committed his people to Israel to punish them, he still punished those who punished them. That is so significant to understand in our walk, that we are still to make sure we do not allow. And I see that we're over our second break period. Let's go to the second break, and then we will continue with the lesson.
Said, devil, it is written. It is written. That's what he said. It's written. In other words, Jesus went to the book of Deuteronomy and came out with scripture. And every time the devil opened his mouth, Jesus threw scripture in his mouth. He came back at him again and he said, devil, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He hit him over and over and over with the scripture. And guess what happened? The devil ran. And guess what you can do? Beginning tonight, you don't have to take it. You don't have to take his mess. You don't have to take his stuff. Hit him. It is written. When the devil comes up and says, how do you know you've been saved? You are not saved. Yes, I am saved. Hit him. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hit him, hit him, hit him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hit him. There is therefore not condemnation maketh. My God shall supply my every need. How are you going to go through? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's written. It's written. It's written. It's in the book. It's in the Bible. All you have to do is take out your Bible and say, where are you, devil? Come on, devil. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. Hit him. Hit him. Hit him. Let's get it on. He's defeated. Our Lord is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hit that devil with the word.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's continue with the instruction on the parable about the cedar of Lebanon. This is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. This is comparing and agreeing. Before we find out what it should mean spiritually, let's look at the comparison. Jesus, in the book of Matthew, in chapter 10 through 12. Listen to what Jesus says. And this is like the cedar of Lebanon. And now the axe is laid upon the roots of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he shall burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Jesus is telling us, or John the Baptist is telling those who came out to him in the desert, that the axe at the root of the tree, so that tree of Lebanon that Ezekiel was talking about, this now is in comparison with any tree that goes against the law of God and goes against Jesus Christ is subject to extinction. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God's judgment will come to pass. That is what I want you to get from this instruction, my brothers and sisters. God's judgment will come to pass. Now let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to Ezekiel. Chapter 32, this time we're going to be looking at several verses, 2 through 4. We're going to look at verse 12 and 16. And this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. This is what Ezekiel told Israel, or this is what the instruction I'm talking about in the book of Ezekiel. Egypt lamented by Israel, or by Ezekiel. So God is having Israel cry and weep over Egypt, even though Egypt is being punished. And this is what Ezekiel says about it in Ezekiel chapter 32, verse 2 through 4. He says, Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say unto him, Thou art like a young lion of the nations, and thou art as a whale in the seas, and thou camest forth with thy rivers, and troublest the waters with thy feet, and fondlest thy rivers. Thus saith the Lord God, I will therefore spread out my net over thee with a company of many people, and they shall bring thee into my net. Then will I lead thee upon the land, and I will cast thee forth in the open field, and will cause all the fowls of heaven to remain upon thee, and I will fill all the beasts of the whole earth with thee. Verse 12, he continues. He says in verse 12, By the sword of the mighty will I cause thy multitude to fall, the terrible of the nations, all of them, and they shall spoil the pomp of Egypt, and all the multitude thereof shall be destroyed. And verse 16 completes the thought. This is the lamentation wherewith they shall lament her. The daughters of the nation shall lament her. They shall lament for her even for Egypt and for her multitude, saith the Lord God. God is telling Ezekiel to tell Israel, telling Egypt, that he is going to cry over them and mourn over them, because God is going to hold them accountable at this time. And we're going to go now to Exodus chapter 11, and we're going to get an understanding of even more than what Ezekiel cited against Egypt at the time. This is what happened during Exodus. Exodus chapter 11, just to show how significant this is. Exodus chapter 11, verse 1, this is what Moses was told by God about Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one more plague against Pharaoh upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let the people go hence. When he shall let them go, he shall surely thrust them out altogether. And in verse 4, and it continues, and Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out in the midst of Egypt. And verse 6, he concludes, and there shall be a great cry throughout all of the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. So again, this is the first time we could say that there was lamentation for Egypt for disobeying God. And now Israel is being told again it was going to happen to Egypt, to not fear, because God was going to protect his children against them. Now let's go to the New Testament compliments. Let's compare and agree. Let's see what the book of Revelation says about this in general today. We're going to Revelations chapter 18, verse 18. And this is what the Spirit is saying to the church in the prophecy of Revelations. We're looking at Revelation chapter 18, verse 18 and 19. And this is what it says. And cry when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city, wherewith were much rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. This is telling us today, my brothers and sisters, at the end, there's going to be decimation of any that goes against God and his people and his children. In this instance, it's Babylon that is cited in Revelation chapter 18. But, of course, Babylon is just symbolic of, we're talking about the world, that at the end of time, those who go against God's children will cease to exist. We will be wailing for them. In fact, in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, it tells us in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation that, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So we can see again that this is problematic for all of those who go against God's children. And that's the reason for this prophecy of Ezekiel to begin with, is to let those who are the remnant, those who are still holding true to God, even though we're in captivity today, my brothers and sisters, those who endure to the end, the same shall be said, saved. That's what Jesus said. So because of that, we have solace, some peace of mind, if you will, if we hold true. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that weeping and gnashing of teeth will be the ultimate lamentation for the lost. My brothers and sisters, we will still feel sorry for those who do not come to the Lord in time, but it still will be something that God will do because of his word. And we know that the Bible tells us his word will not come back void. Okay, it looks like we're into our third break. Let's take our third break and then we'll continue.
Obedience is greater than sacrifice. Obedience means to comply with the law, an order or request, or to submit to another's authority. While sacrifice means to give up something that is precious or a jewel, something that you believe is worthy. But what we do in this world is sometimes we misunderstand that a sacrifice is not the same as being obedient. See, if we were obedient to the process of achieving a goal, see, if we were obedient to the process of being who we need to be, it would have never been viewed as a sacrifice, and confusion would have never taken place. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. And when you're being obedient to what you need to be obedient to, whether that's being obedient to your school, being obedient to obtaining success, being obedient to achieving your goal, when you understand that you're being obedient, you're not sacrificing, what you're doing is you're releasing the notion to become a voluntary victim. You see, people who think that they sacrifice, what they tend to do is they tend to believe that they're giving up time with their family, that they're giving up sleep. But it's simply you following the blueprint of what you said you wanted to do. See, when you submit to another authority, that's being obedient. See, for me, I want to be obedient to success, and success requires me to do certain things. It means that I have to stay up late. It means that sometimes I don't get to sleep as much as I want. I don't get to spend time with the people who I always want to spend time with, but I am not sacrificing. I am being obedient to the process. And you have to be obedient to the process. And before you start to become that volunteer victim that we talked about, understand that you are simply being obedient and you're not sacrificing. There's only been one sacrifice that's ever been made to us here on earth, and that sacrifice came from the Savior. There's nothing that you can ever do to outweigh that sacrifice. And when you understand that that sacrifice that was made for you, obedience is something that you instead, you follow.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us go to the next instruction. We're going to now go back to, we're going to turn to Revelation chapter 33. We're going to look at verse 2 through 6, and this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. We are watchmen for Christ. That is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text. This is what Ezekiel was told by God in Revelation chapter 33, verse 2 through 6. Son of man, speak to the children of Israel and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blows the trumpet and warns the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see that the sword come and blow not the trumpet, people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. And again, let's go to 2 Samuel. We're going to look at Samuel chapter 18, and with this, it's going to tell us how significant it is to respond to that watchman cry. 2 Samuel chapter 18, we're going to see where verse 24 through 27 speaks to this. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 24 through 27, and this is what it says. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes. from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered the king, my servant deceived me, for thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, and that I may ride therein and go to the king, because the servant is lame. And he had slandered the servant unto the Lord through the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thy eyes. And so we can see where Mephibosheth, he was not told correctly or was not warned, and that because of that, he became lame and was subjected as he was before the king at that time. So that is another example of the watchman not responding accordingly and should have. Now what we're going to do is go to the New Testament complement. We're going to see comparing and agreeing what, again, the Bible tells us that the watchman is responsible for and held accountable. He does not do the will of God. This is what Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 through 3 says. And unto the angel of the church at Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. But listen, my brothers and sisters, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard that we are watchmen, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, and will not, I will come upon thee as a thief, and thou shalt know not the hour when I come upon thee. This is significant today, my brothers and sisters, that we must watch and pray, as Jesus says, always, that we may avoid those things that must shortly come to pass. We have been designated as our brother's keepers. We are responsible. Jesus says, go out and share to the world, baptizing and teaching and preaching them. And those who are baptized and believe shall be saved. Those who do not will be condemned. That is our responsibility. If we do not respond to that responsibility, we will be held accountable, just as Ezekiel told Israel in Ezekiel chapter 33, 2 through 6. This is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That watching is a commandment from God. We as Christians are watchmen. We are soldiers of the cross. We are responsible for what we have been commanded to do, and that is to, as Jesus did, seek and save, seek and share the word of God with those who are lost. Now, we know that Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. We have not the power of salvation, but we must, through our commandment from Jesus, the commission, to go out and share the word of God with as many as we meet and greet. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to chapter 33. We're going to get another instruction out of chapter 33. We're going to be looking at verse 12 through 16, chapter 33, verse 12 through 16. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you, my precious brothers and sisters. Judged according to your ways, we will be held accountable for all of what we do. Remember when Jesus says that every idle word will be taken into account. And because by our words we are justified and by our words we are condemned. So we are going to be held accountable. This is what Ezekiel told Israel at the time in their captivity. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 12 through 16 says, Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day of his turn, if he turns from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live if he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all of his righteousness shall be not remembered. But for his iniquity he hath committed against me, he shall surely die. And again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge given against that he hath robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. This is what it concludes by saying, none of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, and shall surely live. Verse 16 through 20 completes the thought by saying, verse 17, it says, and I see that we're at our last break, so let us take our last break, and then I will come back and conclude this part of the lesson.
A lot of people talk a good game, don't they? They say they're going to do this and that. But when push comes to shove, they disappear. When it's game time, they're nowhere to be seen. They say they're going to be the greatest ever, but their work ethic shows average effort. They say they're going to be rich or famous, but their habits are poor and ordinary. Talking is not enough. You must do. Talking is not enough. You must put in the work. You must develop the habit of following through with your word. When you say you're going to do something, you do it. It's called integrity. When you honor your word, you build pride for yourself and respect from others. When you don't, when you talk the talk and never walk, you lose pride and you lose respect. Repeat to yourself every day, if I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I give my word, I do it. If I talk it, I will walk it. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I give my word, I do it. If I talk it, I will walk it. When it gets hard, I gave my word. If something comes up, I gave my word. I will get it done. I don't even have to think twice. I get it done. I will get it done. Talkers talk. Walkers walk. Don't tell them what you're going to do. Show them what you've done. Let your results speak for you. Results say more than words ever will. Keep your word. Do the work. Get the results. Game time. This is my word. I've said it. Now I will do it.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue with this lesson on judged according to your ways. Now we already read part of what Ezekiel identified, and we should take that to note. 20 completes the thought when it says, yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you every one after his ways. So God is telling us, or telling through Ezekiel for sure, that his way is the only way. And we know in Scripture it tells us that God will be gracious unto whom he will be gracious, and he will be merciful unto whom he will be merciful. And now let's go to Ezekiel, or to Ecclesiastes. We're going to look at chapter 12 in Ecclesiastes, and we can see how Solomon put it in this wise on we being judged according to our ways. This is what Solomon had to say. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God is going to hold us into account for everything we do. That is what's so significant here, and that is what is amplified more so by King David, or by King Solomon, I should say, than when Ezekiel was commissioned to tell Israel what he did. And we're going to go now to Revelation chapter 20. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to see exactly how this is re-emphasized in the book of Revelations about being judged according to our ways. Revelation chapter 20, turn your Bible sources with me there, if you will. We're going to be looking at verse 11 through 13. And this is what verse 11 through 13 says. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose eyes the face of the earth had fled, and the heavens. And there was found no more place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. My precious brothers and sisters, there it is. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. The dead and hell gave up the dead that were in them. And they were all judged, every man, according to his works. That is what is so significant that we should understand, that God is going to judge according to our ways. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God will judge and reward or punish according to his will. Like I started off telling you, that God told Israel through Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will have judgment, or I will have grace upon whom I will have grace. That is very significant to note, my brothers and sisters. That's what I want you to get out of this particular instruction. Now let's go to the last instruction of the evening. We're going to go back to Ezekiel chapter 33. We're going to look, take another instruction from Ezekiel chapter 33. We're going to be looking at verse 23 through verse 27. And when I read the text, this is what I want you to keep in mind. Israel's dilemma. My brothers and sisters, we all are in dilemma. But this is what Israel was cited for by the prophet Ezekiel during his commission. This is what Ezekiel said to Israel. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 23 through 27. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, they that inhabit those wastes of the land of Israel speak, saying, Abraham was one, and he inherited the land. But we are many. The land is given to us for inheritance. Wherefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God Almighty, Ye eat with the blood, and lift up your eyes toward your idols, and shed blood. And shall ye possess the land? Ye stand upon your sword. Ye work abomination, and ye defile every one of his neighbor's wife. And shall ye possess the land? Say thou thus unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, As I live, surely they that are in the waste shall fall by the sword. And him that is in the open field will I give to the beasts to be devoured. And they that be in the forts and in the caves shall die of the pestilence. That is what is going to be the end for disobeying God. So that is what Israel was doing. And, of course, they went into captivity because of that. Now let's see what was said back during the law before all of this commission, before the prophet of Ezekiel spake what he did to Israel concerning this. And we're going to look at Exodus chapter 32, verse 1, and then we're going to look at a couple of other verses. And listen, this is what God told Israel, and it was Israel's dilemma. Listen to what happened in Exodus chapter 32. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not which is become of him or what has become of him. So you can see that Israel was in dilemma because Moses was not before them. and they figured that he had gone astray. Anyway, chapter 25 or verse 25 through 28 of this Exodus chapter 32, this completes the thought and tells us what happens to those who disobey God. Chapter or verse 25 says, "And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." My brothers and sisters, the end of our dilemma is going to be death. And we must be careful in disobedience. Jesus has come and given us repentance unto salvation. And that is the way that we overcome the dilemma of our situation. In fact, we're going to go to the New Testament and we're going to compare and agree. We're going to go, turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to look at verse 47 to 56. And this is what Jesus told, or at least this is the experience that the apostles had during Jesus' time where they were in dilemma. And this is what verse 47 says. "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Behold, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew out his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then Jesus said unto him, Put up again thy sword unto his place. For all that they take the sword shall die by the sword. Thinkest thou that I came not? Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But now then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be. And in the same hour he said unto the multitude, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hands on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then the disciples forsook him and fled." That was the dilemma they had, my precious brothers and sisters. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that our dilemma is the war between the flesh and the spirit. And the only way we can win it is through activating this knowledge of good and evil. That is the lesson for this evening. Both now, the host and I would like to thank you for your participation and encouragement, and good night.
Thank you for listening to Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night for our program. Good night.